our next storyteller is here. This is Christy Coots from Tallahassee, and you are in for a treat. Okay, Christy, take it away.
Literally just in from Tallahassee, doing a lot of road construction. Thomas and I, my son, were counting. We counted about 14 police cars, so we decided to obey the speed limit today. Doesn't take long to whip you into shape, does it? I started telling stories, I guess, back in 1982. I was right out of library school at FSU, and I went up to Bainbridge, Georgia. That was my first assignment. And the librarian that I worked for, they had a long tradition, like a 75, 80-year tradition of oral storytelling. And I was petrified. But that was my assignment, and I was sent out to a three-county area to classrooms all over South Georgia. And I was instantly totally married to the idea. After my first experience, I was in a classroom, and more than half the children had never heard a story told to them before. So we could see it's a tradition that's gaining in popularity, and it's alive and well at the Florida Folklife Festival, thanks to people like Miss Peggy, who's kept it alive here for, gosh, more than quarter of a century, huh? And her family. I usually have folk tales, and they're drawn straight from the library shelves, and they're from all over the world. And this is a story from the top of the world. It's from the Seneca Indian tribe, and it's called How Stories Came Into the World. And I'd like to start with that today. Long ago, there were no stories in the world. Life wasn't easy for the people either. Winter days were long and cold. The wind blew hard, and the snow piled high against the long hill. So he set to figuring out how to solve the problem. Angel, bring me my tiny little sewing scissors. And so with that, the angel came, and she brought the tiny little sewing scissors. And the Lord started snipping everything he could find. He snipped silver from the stars, blue from the sky, yellow from the sun, green from the grass, red, orange, purple from the flowers. And pretty soon, all these snippets were floating on airwaves all around the world. And people were talking. They were saying, Hey, Joe, look at those snippets. Look at that. They're fluttering by. Those flutterbys. Well, all the children of the world started laughing all at one time because they knew the word was wrong. Because children and children alone know how words should sound. They should be easy on the tongue and easy on the ear. So the children, each to their parents, went, "The word is butterflies." And that's how butterflies got their name. The adults put it in the dictionary under the letter B, and after a while they began to think they made up the word. And just remember, when you see a butterfly next to a flower, it's put there to eat the flower. Okay. Let's see. This is another really old story. I like to just point this out because you've probably heard it. And it's probably 4,000 years old. These stories were all created to teach something. They're called fables. I'm sure you've heard them before at school. And this is one. I love this story because it reminds me of all of us and each of us in every way. The city mouse and the country mouse. And it's a wonderful story. Once upon a time, a city mouse went to visit his cousin in the country. Well, she was very excited. She lived in a hole in the bottom of an oak tree. She swept down her whole little area. She got her best acorns, her juiciest roots, and the clearest, coldest spring water. And she put it out on the table on an array of beautiful leaves. And she brought it for her cousin to arrive. Well, when the city cousin arrived, he began to eat, and they began to talk. And the country mouse could tell that the city mouse was just being rather polite, nibbling sparingly, just to be polite. And then that night they had a long talk, or well, rather, the city mouse talked a lot about all the delicacies and cheeses and pastries and fine wines and grapes and cookies that were available in the city. And that night the country mouse went to sleep. She gazed out and looked at the bright stars, and she thought, maybe city life would be better than this.
So the next morning when the city mouse invited the country mouse to go, she went.
She got her carpet bag and her parasol, and off they went on the train.
But when they arrived, they had to hurry because it was very dangerous where the city mouse lived. They had to scurry into the pantry behind the cupboard and go to the little dark hole. There was no light like the country mouse had. There were no stars, there was no sun.
The city mouse said, "The best is yet to come. They have a banquet every day, and we'll scurry into the table. Follow me."
So they scampered in, and truly, the country mouse had never seen such food. There was cheese of every color, grapes, cakes, cookies.
It truly was wondrous.
And just as she was about to eat, big, fat, hot cheese. The house cat came in. Woo! The two little mice ran as fast as they could, but their hearts just beat.
Finally, when it seemed safe again,
back out to the table.
Same piece of cheese was still there.
Country mouse.
Woo!
The house dog
ran back heartbeat.
Well, the country mouse grabbed her parasol and grabbed her carpet bag.
And she said, "This may be fine for you, but I prefer my place of peace. I may not have as much as you, but I'd rather have peace."
And the story teaches it's better to have poverty and peace than plenty and live in fear. The end.
That's one of my favorite stories. Let's see. I have another one. And this is a story. When I was a little girl, we had to go to church every Sunday, and I still do. Probably I'm so well trained. But sometimes when I was little, I would get so bored. And I would count the rafters at the top of the church. And I would have my arms sticking way up. And it was real distracting to this older man that always sat in back of us. I seemed destined to irritate him. And so my father started teaching me some of his handkerchief tricks. And so this was one of them. And then there was another one. You did know what that was, right?
One.
Good. Just don't say giraffe. And then this was my sister and our favorite. It's like two little babies. But anyway, our next story is about a rabbit. And you know, there are rabbit stories in every country, all over the world. They're very old. And the stories we know in America are the Brer Rabbit stories, which now we know were based on African slave tales. They were really African. And when they came over here, they were dressed in the fashions of the American country. And this is an African folk tale. And it's called Rabbit and Hyena Play the Kalimba. And this is an African thumb piano. And this is really not, this is too fancy, but in Africa, they're actually made out of anything concave, like a turtle shell, or it could be a gourd. And storytellers often use them from Central America, Africa, like in the Belgian Congo. And this story, you can picture Rabbit as the trickster. It was a time of great famine. All the animals were so hungry. All except for Rabbit, that is, who always seemed to have enough food, never seemed to be hungry. But one day, even Rabbit's supplies got down to just about nothing. So he fashioned himself a cage from branches and vines. He made himself a broom out of a big stick. He filled a pail with water, and he got his kalimba. And he dragged all the stuff up to the edge of the bush. And he began to play. And then he sang, "Come and dance while you have a chance. It is not every day that I am here to play my kalimba." Well, at that moment, a flock of guinea hens rushed out of the bush, and they began dancing and strutting and twisting their tails. And only when Rabbit stopped did they question. "Say," said the first guinea hen, "Mr. Rabbit, why are you playing your kalimba?"
Oh, my pretty little guinea hen. These are such terrible times. I wanted to cheer you.
Wow, said the guinea hen. Isn't he the kindest rabbit you have ever seen?
And with that, a second guinea hen said,
Mr. Rabbit, could you tell me why you bought that broom? Oh, my lovely, my sweet, my child. It is so dusty and dry, and I don't want your feathers to get all dirty. I'm going to sweep.
Oh, said the guinea hen.
And the third guinea hen said, please, what is this pail of water for?
Oh, it's so dry.
I know you'll be thirsty.
Drink up, drink up.
What a thoughtful rabbit. The most clever guinea hen said, Mr. Rabbit, could you tell me what that cage is for?
Cage, said the rabbit. Oh, that's not a cage. That's shelter.
It is the rainy season.
And you know, if it were to start raining, you could rush in
for shelter. See? Oh, yes.
So with that, Rabbit continued to play with one hand.
The guinea hen started dancing once more. The rabbit dipped his broom in the water and sprinkled it out over their heads. And that was, oh, rain! And they rushed, slam, through the cage door. Other half ran into the bush, shrieking.
said Rabbit. He was so excited.
Boy, is he going to have a good dinner tonight. So he gathered all of his stuff where any prying eyes could see and dragged all his stuff almost back home in the bush. Well, before he could get there, Hyena came upon him.
Hey, Rabbit. Whoa. How come it is you have something to eat and all these guinea hens and I have nothing?
Well, Rabbit thought, Hyena is a pretty stupid fellow, but,
well, I feel pretty good about what I did.
So I told him about his trip.
He said, but you're going to have to make your own cage. You can borrow everything else. So Hyena proceeded to build a really large cage and dragged all the stuff up to the edge of the bush. And he began to play as only a hyena can. And sing,
well, a flock of guinea hens came out through the bush and they just
stood there. Hello, hyena. Well, what's the matter with you birds? Don't you know what to do? Let's get with it.
What do you mean, hyena?
You will dance, I will sprinkle water on your heads, you'll think it's raining and you'll rush into the cage. Don't you get it?
Oh, yes, we get it,
Good, good, good. Oh, come and dance,
oh! The guinea hens didn't dance. Hyena said, hey, I thought you got it.
You know, well, we do and we don't. We're not quite sure exactly how this works.
How would we all fit in here? Oh, just like this. She bent down, went through the door, just like this. Well, I don't know. I don't think that we all could fit.
Well, sure, I'll show you.
Like that. Boom! The guinea hens pushed it in. Slam! And the guinea hens began to dance around the cage.
And word has it that to this very day, they're still there.
Summer, if you have some extra time, go to the library and visit the 398.2s, and you can find tales from every country.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Hello. Enjoy yourself. Come on. Have a seat. Yeah, where you all from now? What school? What? Sasha? Have a seat.
Did you teach at the church?
I have told stories in the church. Yeah. No. This is Oscar. We're so glad to have you all over at the Folk Festival this year. And this is a story swapping time. Do we have anyone out here who would like to tell a story? Nobody? You mean nobody wants to tell a story? Y'all come on in. Well, you can if you want to. Well, if you don't have a story to tell, then I'm going to tell you a teeny tiny one then. Do y'all know Epaminondas? Epaminondas was the cutest little boy you've ever seen in your life. Epaminondas lived on this side of the mountains, and his grandmama lived on this side. He loved to go to see his grandmama. One day he went to see grandmama, and he said, Grandmama said, Epaminondas, I got you something. Here's a big old chunk of fresh chocolate cake. Thank you, grandmama. He took the cake in his hands, and he held it real tight. As he walked on down home, and he got home, his mama said, Epaminondas, what you got in your hand? Cake, mama. Oh, but it's all squishy. It's running down my arm. Epaminondas, that ain't the way you bring home cake. The way you bring home cake is you take it, and you wrap it in a banana leaf, and you put it on your head. Now, you remember that. Yes, ma'am, mama. I do that the next time. Next time Epaminondas went to see Grandmama, she said, Epaminondas, I got you something. Here's a big old chunk of butter. Thank you, Grandmama. Now, Epaminondas remembered what his mama said. He took that butter, wrapped it in a banana leaf, and put it on his head. Now, on the way home, it got hot, and he got to sweating. All that sweat went running down his face just like yours does when you get hot. Oh, that sweat tasted so good. Tasted just like that good old sweat, good old butter on top of my head. I can't wait to get home and tell Mama. When he got home, Mama said, Epaminondas, what you got on your head? Butter, Mom. Epaminondas, that ain't the way you bring home butter. The way you bring home butter is you take it and you wrap it in a banana leaf and you cool it in the water. And you cool it in the water. And you cool it in the water. Now you remember that. Yes, ma'am, Mama. I'll do that the next time. Next time Epaminondas went to see Grandmama, she said, Epaminondas, I got you something special. Here's a wiggly, squiggly, yip, yap, and tail wagging puppy. Now Epaminondas remembered what his mama said. He took that puppy, wrapped him in a banana leaf, and cooled him in the water. And he cooled him in the water. And cooled him in the water. And then he got up and my mama said, Epaminondas, what you got in your hand? Wiggly, squiggly, yip, yap, and tail wagging puppy, mama, but it ain't wiggly wagging no more. Epaminondas, you must down that poor dog, go get me a towel. He got her a towel and she rubbed him and scrubbed his creases and leaves. And in a minute, he was wiggly wagging all over the place. Epaminondas, the way you bring home a puppy is you take him and you tie a string around him and put him on the ground and bring him behind you. Now you remember that. Yes, ma'am, Mama. Epaminondas went to see Grandmama again and she had a big old hot loaf of bread. Epaminondas remembered what his mama said. He took that bread, tied a string around it and put him on the ground. Started pulling it behind him all the way home. When he got home, his mom said, Epaminondas, that ain't the way you bring home bread. Listen here, I want to tell you something, and I don't want you to ever forget it. Come up here. Now, he thought she was going to be mad at him, but she wasn't. She put her arms around him, and she said, Epaminondas, I want to tell you something, and don't you ever forget it. I love you, Epaminondas, and don't you ever forget it. And he never did. And that was the end. Thank you. All right. Now it's your time. Someone won't. Hey, I'm glad you all got over here. Very good. Somebody, I want somebody to get up here and tell me a story. It doesn't have to be. Oh, we got a storyteller here. Now, come on, don't be shy. Didn't somebody want to tell a teeny tiny story? Something that happened at school? Come on, yes, come on. You got it. Let's go. Come on. You got us a storyteller. You have to introduce yourself and get up here and tell us a story.
I'm Deanna Durden from Hogan Spring Glen Elementary.
And you're our Miss Peggy. And we were so excited to see you.
I saw that face out there.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about Tipperary the Hungry Leprechaun. You know, leprechauns can do magic, right? And Tipperary, hard times had come to Ireland, and all he had left was enough magic from the tip of his finger to this notch. And people in Ireland were so hungry. So, one day, somebody grabbed hold of Tipperary and caught him and took him home and told him, "Give me all your gold." And Tipperary said, "I don't have any more gold." And they shook him and they shook him, "Give me your gold. You tell me where your magic is hidden." And finally, he said, "All I have left is from this notch of my finger to the tip." And so what they did was, is they went outside and they found all these hard rocks on the ground. And Tipperary ran around and he touched every single one of those rocks with the tip of that finger until there was no magic left. And do you know what those rocks turned into?
Potatoes.
They turned into potatoes. And the people of Ireland were never ever hungry again because they always saved some of those potatoes to plant the next year. And that's how we got Irish potatoes. Now it's somebody else's turn to come up here.
What's the point? Okay. And a-
Alright, we've got us a storyteller, and I'm going to listen. I can listen, you can listen. Alright? She might be good. She might surprise us. Come on up here. Who's got it? What is it? What's the name of it? You, she doesn't know a story to tell. You don't have a story? Wait, let me tell you a story. If you don't have one to tell, I will tell you a story about old Jack. I think I told you all this, but you can hear it again. Jack's mama bought him a brand new suit of clothes. She said, "Jack, I want you to go into town. Take this message to the meat man. Tell him this is what I want tomorrow for my meat. Now, Jack, I'm going to let you wear your brand new clothes, but you be careful. Don't you dare let any rain get on your clothes. I don't want no rain to get on your clothes. Now, you hear me now? Yes, now, Mama. I ain't gonna let no rain get on my clothes." Well, old Jack went to town, took the message to his mama, to the man, and on the way back, he started picking up pebbles to put in his pocket because, you know, he was the chief stone skipper over the water. But, oh, so he was a champion. He got to the bridge and he started skipping stones over the water. And all of a sudden, it got dark. It got pitch black dark. He said, "Uh-oh, it's a fixing to rain. Mama said, don't let the rain get on my clothes." Sure enough, drop of rain hit him in the eye. Another hit him on the nose. "I gotta hide. She gonna tame my hide if I don't." So he ran, he jumped over the, into the water. He hid right under that water. But the rain could not get on his clothes. He took his hat off and hid that under the water. And then the rain came and got his head wet and got his eyes wet and his nose. He didn't care because he was doing just what his mama said. And then he got up and went slishy slashy home. His mama said, "Jack, look at you. You done what I told you not to do. I said, Jack, don't you get wet on that. Don't you let your suit get wet.
Uh-uh, Mama.
I did just what you said. You said, Jack, don't let the rain get on your clothes. And Mama, it did. Because I hid it. I hid under the water. And the rain did not get on my clothes. And that was the end of that.